Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Genesis, chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, this is a passage we've been in often, actually, but I'm going to teach out of it tonight and launch from it. Genesis chapter 3, we're going to read the first 11 verses together. And I want you to keep your Bibles open. We're going to use them a little bit tonight, so get ready. Here we go. Genesis chapter 3. Katie, that's the first book of the Bible, okay? First couple pages, you'll find it. All right. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? The woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know in the day that ye eat thereof that your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were open, they knew not that they were naked. They sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. Once you notice that, they hid themselves. All right. Let's see here in verse number 9. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? Wow. We have here the story, the world would call it the fall of man. I hate to tell you this. It's a bad term. It's not a correct term. I'm not saying it's a wicked thing to say. Man didn't fall, man chose to go down. Falling is an accident. You don't fall on purpose. Man chose to sin. Here, Adam and Eve are living in an imperfect environment. Now, by that I mean this. They were close to God. The Bible says that God came down every day, and they walked in the garden with God every day. One day, after a series, it may have been the first day, we have no idea, but Satan came and got in and got to Adam and Eve and tempted them to where they sinned. Now, I want you to understand something. This is not a world that had sin or evil in it. There was no rock music. There was no Hollywood. There was no adultery. There was no fornication. There was no marijuana. There was no alcohol. There was no abuse. There was no tobacco. There was no sin in the earth. How was the devil successful at separating man from God in a perfect world? Think about that. How was he successful at it? I'm going to spend tonight and probably the next several weeks teaching on the subject in separation, how Satan tries to break down separation. How Satan tries to break down separation. Now, if you'll stay with me, tonight's going to be a little technical, but if you'll stay with me, I think I can walk us through this. The Christian has three main enemies. I call them the three cannons that the devil uses against us. You have the world, you have the flesh, and you have the devil. God said the three main issues that the devil uses is the world, the flesh, and the devil himself. Now, we'll come back to those in a moment. The Christian is threefold. Stand up here, Brother Matt. I'm going to use you. The Christian... You'd look better as the devil instead of a Christian, but you'll do. The Christian is threefold. He has a body, though it's not worth looking at very long, but he has a body, amen? All of us have a body. The Christian also has something inside of him called his soul. That is his ability to get along with other people. That's what's influenced by the world. That's how we get along with one another. But then there's something that a Christian has that the lost person does not have, and that is the Spirit. When a person gets saved, John chapter 3, you must be born again. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is Spirit, the Holy Spirit. So the Christian has a body, has a soul, and has a spirit. He is threefold. Thank you. That means this: the devil has his three cannons focused on all parts of Christianity. Those three cannons: the world, the flesh, and the devil. Now, everybody look at me for a second here. Adam and Eve could not have been tempted by the world. It was perfect. There was no broken down government. There was no communism. There was no evil outside influence of the actual world itself. So they were not tempted by the world. I hate even saying it this way, but their flesh wasn't tempted either. Their flesh was not the issue. There was only one way that the devil could get at Adam and Eve. And that was by tempting their spirit. He tempted them into thinking that they would be more spiritual if they disobeyed God. Look at verse number 5 again. For God doth know in the day that ye eat thereof, then your eyes, hello, shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. The devil said, Eve, wouldn't you like to be more like God? Wouldn't you like to be able to decide good and evil for yourself and not have to go through him? You want to be so close to him, wouldn't you like to be more like him? Hello. He just started tempting her spirit. You see, the devil often will attack our young people. Most of our young people are not tempted by alcohol. Most of our young people could walk by alcohol all day long because they've seen what it does to people and say, don't want that mess. Most of our kids would walk by illicit drugs, you name it, that kind of tobacco. They could walk by it all day long and say, those people are stupid. Nasty stuff. Why would anybody want to do that? Many could possibly walk by the bad music. They know enough. They've been through enough. They don't allow the music to influence them. But the devil will attack their spirit. Now, in separation, let me restate something. The goal of separation is not a badge that you put on and say, look at me, I'm separated. Separation is more than just coming out of something that is bad or wrong. It's more than coming out of something that's not even wrong, it just slows you down. The goal of separation is to peel those things off so that you can get as close to God as you possibly can get. And God knows what slows us down, what keeps us from getting closer to him. Here's the problem. We get saved, we come out of something, we start going the right direction, and then we say, boy, I missed that. Boy, I missed that. Boy, I missed that. Remember Lot's wife. Luke 14, remember Lot's wife. I think it's 14. I know it's in the book of Luke. You say, why? Because she came out of Sodom and Gomorrah. She got to Zoar. Then she turned and looked and became a pillar of salt. Though she came out, she was not separated to. She was only separated from, and she wanted what she came from. Now, God tells us that we are to be like him. Philippians chapter 2, verse number 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Do you know that God wants you to think with his mind, not with your mind? You know that God wants you to borrow his mind so that you don't make our bonehead decisions? God says you can borrow the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You say, how do I get it? Number one, you ask for it. Number two, read it. Read it. You say, you think all the answers are in that book. They are. Don't worry. Say, I haven't found them yet. You didn't read enough yet. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Take your Bible, turn to 1 John chapter 4. We're going to run through some scriptures here, so get your fingers warmed up, ready, and spit on them real good to fly through the pages. Amen. 1 John chapter 4. Look at verse 17. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Ooh, what a powerful statement. God said, as he is, so are we in this world. So we can have his mind, but he also says you can live like Jesus lived. As he is, so are we in this world. Now, turn to Psalm 17. All the way back to the Old Testament, middle of the Bible, Psalm 17. Psalm 17, verse number 15. The Bible says, as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. Do you know that it is our job to be like him? John 14, 12, I won't make you turn there right now because I'm trying to save a little time. It says, greater works than these shall ye also do. Can I tell you something? The disciples had more people saved in one meeting than Jesus did. Pentecost. Do you know that Pentecost has been breached many times? I know of five different occasions under the ministry of Brother Hiles we broke Pentecost. Say why? Greater works than these shall ye also do. Greater works than these shall ye also do. Jesus didn't put a limit and say, you can only do what I did. He said, I'll give you the Holy Spirit, and there'll be more of you than there was of us then, and look out, here you go. We limit ourselves. We put a ceiling on God and think that whatever God did in the Bible, that's the greatest thing he could do. Guess what? He was just getting started. Now, our separation will allow us to be more like him. So Satan's job becomes to keep us from being closer to him. Did you notice what happened when man sinned? There was a separation between God and man. And man hid himself from God. He wasn't running to him saying, okay, I'm glad you're here. He was saying, oh no, he's here. Where can we hide? There was a separation because Satan came in and man yielded and man sinned. And there was a separational barrier between God and man because of the wrong that was done. Now, I'm going to break many of you's philosophies right in half and shatter it if I get my way tonight. If you'll listen to me, we have been influenced by the denominationalists, the charismatics, and all the weirdos of Hollywood for so long that you need to hear this statement. Satan is out to destroy God. Satan's goal is to hurt God. This is the statement that might smart a little bit. We are not the ones Satan is trying to hurt. Satan is trying to keep you from getting closer to God. He doesn't care if he hurts you or not. His concern is not whether he hurts you. He's just trying to keep you from getting there. Whether he hurts you or not doesn't matter to him. He has no feelings whatsoever whether you hurt or not. He only cares that you not get here. That is a liberal philosophy that, well, God just cares about your feelings and the devil's just out to get you. I hate to tell you, that flat tire you got probably didn't come from the devil. Say, what did it come from? Something you ran over. Well, who put it there? I don't know. It wasn't me. It's kind of like when you ask somebody, you say, what's the matter? Well, I lost something. What's the next question? This is one of the most silly questions in the world. Where did you lose it? If I knew where I'd lost it, why would it be lost? Now, wait a minute. We give the devil too much credit. We think that everything that goes wrong is the devil's fault. Can I tell you something? The devil didn't care whether you hurt Adam and Eve. He just wanted to break God's heart by them not spending time with him. He wanted God's heart to not be fulfilled. He didn't care what he did to Adam and Eve. By the way, he didn't totally lie. Eve, you know that God won't kill you in the day that you eat thereof. Let me ask you a question. The day that they ate, did their bodies die? Nope. The devil always uses a shred of truth. Young people, listen to me. When somebody tells you, oh, your mom and dad won't find out, nobody will find out. They might not find out right away. But eventually people find out. Trust me. Somebody's always watching. Satan is trying to hurt God. He does not care whether he hurts you or not. You are not the object. God is. Now, in Satan's arsenal, he uses the world, the flesh, and himself, the devil. Let me show you something. The flesh attacks the body. The world attacks the soul, and the devil will attack your spirit. How does the devil get to us? He uses the flesh to attack our body. He uses the world to attack our soul, and he uses himself to attack our spirit. He has those cannons finally aimed on a specific target. Let me show you what I mean. Are you ready? Get your Bible. Matthew chapter 6. We will get through point number one tonight. That was all introduction. Amen. Folks, if you'll listen to me, your Christian life will be as rich like you have never had it before. I promise you. I've said this over and over and over. Separation is not a matter of a couple likes and dislikes that the preacher has, and he wants to make everybody's life miserable. It's not smoking, drinking, and running with those who do. It's not certain kind of dress. Those are standards. Those aren't separation. Separation is those things peeling off so that you can get as close to your God as you can possibly get. It is a relationship. Matthew chapter 6, look at verse number 22. The Bible says, the light of the body is the eye. Now look at me. The light of the what? Body is the eye. Now watch this. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is the darkness? Skip down to verse 25. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought of your life for what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not life more than meat and the body more than raiment? The flesh attacks the body. The first thing the devil will do, he'll tempt your eyes. He'll tempt your eyes. Hey, fellas, you know what I'm talking about. The devil's good at tempting a man's eyes. Look at all the temptations physically man has to endure. They can't sell a car. They can't sell dog food. They can't sell something without indecent exposure. Y'all know what I'm talking about? When my kids were little, I used to, somebody will say, oh, over by so-and-so billboard. I don't look at billboards to this day. 99% of the billboards in America aren't worth looking at. And when my kids were little, I taught them to look straight out, not look up. My kids would say, Daddy, 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 don't look left. Okay, I'm not looking left. Most of you say, don't look left. At what? Say why? The temptation of the eyes. You see, I taught my kids to not look at evil if one saw it for them to look away. You see, temptation comes through the eyes. By the way, that's what advertisement in the world's all about. What do? They try to make it look good. They try to make it seem bigger than life. I gotta tell you a quick story here. Oh, we were still over in the hotels. This is a long time ago. We were still over in the hotels. I got a phone call about going to see a church building. Amen, Brother Brining? We went over one Sunday afternoon. There wasn't much to it. We were outgrown before we got in. I've had about a dozen phone calls and about a half a dozen of you that have come to me and said, oh, I see a billboard for church, big church for sale. Been in it. We don't want it. Guy wanted $750,000 and we were out of it before we were in it. And there wasn't enough parking places for our church. Now, the billboard makes it look big, but it might seat 100 people in the auditorium. Maybe. It was not put together real well. It was not built by an independent fundamental Baptist, that's for sure. The nursery, the entire nursery would fit on this platform. We'd be in trouble, folks. We'd have to have hooks just for the kiddos, amen? Hang them on the walls. It was incredible. Now, it's not a bad building. It wasn't going to meet our need. I didn't think there was anything wrong with it. It just wasn't our style. Now, Brother Rogers wanted to make sure they left the rock band stuff there with them, but that's okay. Now, the devil works at our eyes first. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Let me show you something here. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, look at verse number 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but ye are washed and ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Now, we'll come to this list here in a second. Fornication, idolatry, adultery, effeminate, that's the sodomites, amen. Cutting or abuse, thievery, covetousness, drunkenness, extortion, revilers. Folks, those are all things that come because of our eyes. Adultery and fornication is an act of temptation of the eyes. That's why you got to be careful when you are at work around lost people, fellas. Where do your eyes go? Ladies, that's why you got to be careful at work. Say why? Because you could tempt a man and you could tempt him to the point of you could lose your marriage over it. It talks about the effeminate world. I don't need to spend much time there. But it becomes appealing to someone who abuses what God has given between a man and a woman. Folks, people are not born sodomites. Just so you know. Never has been one born that way. Say, how do you know that? Because sodomites can't have children. Getting quiet. Talks about nor abusers of themselves. We're in a generation that does weird things. This has been around for probably about 10, 15 years, but it's ramping itself back up, and people to relieve stress start cutting themselves. young people especially will start taking knives or razor blades and cutting till they bleed to what they say relieve pressure. And cut 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 and cut. Say why? Just because they think in doing that they're relieving mental anguish if they feel physical pain. Say, that's weird. That's what lost people do. You have some of your well-known rock musicians and Hollywood stars that do it, so they see it, so they've got to try it. Gag. Stealing. What's stealing? Taking something that's not yours, seeing it, thinking you can get away with it, and doing it. You saw it, you took it. That's what it is. Covetousness. That's wanting what somebody else has that you don't have. Say, why do I want something they don't, or why do I want something they have? Because you looked at it. It's that simple. It becomes an act of the eyes. Now, I want to show you something. Look at verse number, chapter 6 there. Stay in chapter 6. Look at verse number 18. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body, what's this? Is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own, for you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your, what is it? Oh, hold on. You sound like a bunch of Catholics. Glorify God in your what? Body, and in your spirit, which are God's. Guess what, folks? We are supposed to glorify God in our body because this is the temple, the church, the tabernacle of the Holy Spirit. You say, well, I wouldn't take Jesus to some of the places I go, but you're taking the Holy Ghost there if you're saved. I hate to burst your bubble, but Jesus doesn't move into your heart. The Holy Ghost does. Jesus isn't moving from heaven. When you got saved, Jesus doesn't move into your heart. That's wrong theology. The Holy Spirit comes in. If Jesus moves into your heart, I hate to tell you something, what he said at Acts chapter 1 is wrong. What he said in John chapter 14 is wrong. He said, I'll leave you, but I'll leave you a comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. Hello. He said, I'm going to leave, fellas, but I'm going to leave you the Holy Spirit. He'll take care of you. He'll move inside you. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit of his Spirit. That's called regeneration, being regened, regeneticked. We get the genetics of God through the Holy Spirit who moves into our life and gives us that presence of God. Boy, that's good stuff. Now, so he attacks our flesh, number one, through the eyes. Number two, through the tongue. Turn to James chapter 3. This is going to get ugly in a hurry. I'm going to hit this one fast. James chapter 3. Let's read verse number 3. Behold, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also ships, which though they be so great, are driven so fierce winds. They are turned about a very small helm whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed by mankind, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. The devil first tempts us with our eyes, and then he goes at our tongue. Folks, the tongue controls everything we say. You know, if you cut your tongue out, you can't talk. No. The Indians at times would cut their enemy's tongue out. It was a slow, painful death because you can't swallow either. You can't chew and move food around in your mouth. The only thing you can do is drink. And that becomes difficult because you can't swallow without your tongue. So it became a very torturous death. Now, listen very carefully. Your tongue, your words can keep you from being separated. How many times do we think we're spiritual in our pride and what we start talking about? Do you think God is pleased with it? What you say controls your thinking. The Bible talks about out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Do you realize that your tongue will control what you think about? It controls what other people think about. Your tongue controls your relationships. Everybody doing okay? I feel like I'm on an island all by myself right now. Your tongue literally controls your life. The reason many people's lives are out of control is because they don't control their tongue. I have to tell somebody. Why? Gossip, whether it's true or untrue, information you have, heartaches, burdens. And by the way, we're here to help each other, yes. But just because you stubbed your toe in the dark last night, everybody doesn't need to know it. Why is it we live in a Facebook world where we got to tell everybody everything? I have never been on Facebook. Thank God. Don't plan on it. Never going to be. Amen. Our church isn't going to go on Facebook and Twitter. Say why? I'm not that way. I'm not saying it's sinful for you to, but I have counseled enough people. Hang on. I have to go potty. And they put it on Facebook. Okay. I'm back. Okay. Did we really need to put that out there for the world to know? Well, I got to go to the store and I'm going to buy this and this and this. They put it all on the computer for everybody to know. They can't do anything without everybody knowing. That is the world we live in. Instant information for everybody to have total access to. Folks, whatever happened to privacy? Why is it that everybody's got to know? Okay, moving on. The heart. Turn to Jeremiah 17. Jeremiah 17. So we have the eyes, we have the tongue, now we're going to the heart. We're going to split the heart wide open, amen? Look at Jeremiah 17, verse number 9. Some of you need to read this verse and memorize it. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The heart is deceitful. That word deceitful, did you ever have a deceitful person? That means it lies to you. It shows you a smile on this side and it's hiding the knife behind you so that when you shake hands, they stick you in the gizzard. That's called deceit. The Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things. Parents, it's dangerous for you to tell your kids, trust your heart. It'll tell you what to do. No, it won't. Not the right thing to do. My heart has told me to do a lot of things I shouldn't do. My heart will even justify doing wrong. Isn't that what the devil did with Eve? Now, hang on there. What we see affects our heart. Look at Lamentations 3. Jeremiah, Lamentations, it's the very next book of the Bible. And look at verse 51. Mine eye affecteth mine heart because of all the daughters of my city. My eye affects my heart. What you see will affect what you feel. Did you ever notice when they want to raise money for a charity? Let's feed the world. What do? They show you this poor naked little black baby with his belly stuck out here like he's had no food. They don't show you the people that run that organization living in a $1 million mansion. I'm for feeding poor people. But I'm going to do it through the local church and through a missionary, not through feed the world. Save the whales. Some of you old timers will remember the Exxon Valdez oil spill out in Washington State? They got about half a dozen seals that had been soaked in oil. They spent like $3 million to recoup them. It was a big media blitz. They were going to let them go in Puget Sound. They had all the media there. They were letting these six little seals go. They let them go, and everybody's clapping, and yeah. And a pod of orcas came up, and they were gone like that. Ate those puppies. $3 million lunch, amen? I was going, hoorah! God wins again, amen? Now, wait a minute. You know, Fluffy the seal became lunch. Okay, welcome to nature. Oh, but they're so cute. What do? They try to show you the pathetic to play on your emotion. My eye affecteth my heart. TV. That's what the TV does. Wow. Just buy this app burner and you can look like a washboard. Right. Most of you, after the first try, say, mm-mm, that's not for me, and you just wasted $69.95. Lose weight fast. The only weight you lost was the money in your wallet. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Okay. But that looks like, it might look like it's going to work, but let's find out somebody that it really worked with. When you see in the little fine print that you can hardly read, you know, results may vary. That means deceit. You know, lose money guaranteed. Folks, what you see at the office will affect you. What you see at work will affect you. What you see at television will affect you. What you see on whatever you do, whether it be the computer, whether it be wherever you're at, it will affect you. Look at Ezekiel 28, very next book of the Bible, a few more pages over. Ezekiel 28, I tried to keep some of these in order for you. Look at verse number 2. Son of man, say unto the prince of Tyrus, which is the devil, thus saith the Lord of God, because thine heart is lifted up, and thou hast said, I am God. I sit in the seat of God, in the midst of the seas, yet thou art a man and not God, though thou set thine heart as the heart of God. Behold, thou art wiser than Daniel. There is no secret that they can hide from thee. With thy wisdom, with thine understanding, thou hast gotten thee riches, and hast gotten thee gold and silver and thy treasures. By thy great wisdom and by thy traffic hast thou increased thy riches, and thine heart is lifted up because of thine riches. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, because thou hast set thine heart as the heart of God. Folks, look at me. The devil's heart's what got him in trouble in heaven. If you went to Isaiah 14, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit in the seat of the Most High. I will be like God. He said, I have in my heart a desire to overthrow God, and I am going to do it. And it was the heart of Satan. He literally thought he could be greater than God. You say, that's foolish. That's not me. Some of you want what God doesn't want. Your will is more important than his will. Your way is more important than his way. Okay, moving on. our money affects our heart. Turn to Matthew chapter 6. Now I'm really going to get in trouble. Matthew chapter 6. Look at verse number 21. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You show me your checkbook register, I'll show you what your heart is. You show me where you invest your money, I'll show you where your heart is. By the way, fellas, that's why Proverbs chapter 31, Bible says that you're not to give your treasures to a woman. If she's not your wife, don't start spending a bunch of money on her. You're going to invest in that, might not be the right one. Okay, that one got me in trouble. Matthew chapter 12. Look at Matthew chapter 12 just for a second here. Told you we were going to use our Bibles tonight. I don't like it. Good. Look at verse number 34. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So we see that our eye, we see that our mouth is affected by our heart. Folks, the devil is attacking your body through your eyes, through your mouth, and through your heart. Look at John chapter 12. I've got to hurry. John chapter 12, look at verse number 40. He hath blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, that they should not see with their eyes nor understand with their heart and be converted, and I should heal them. God says we can actually not see with our eyes, be blinded by sin, have our hearts hardened, and not realize that what we want isn't the right thing. Acts chapter 5. This is the story of Ananias and Sapphira. Ananias and Sapphira decided that they were going to sell a parcel of land, take the profit from it, and give it to the church. Once they found out they made a little more than they thought they were going to make, they kept back most of it. They did not keep the promise to God that they were supposed to keep. It doesn't say that they gave all of it away. They were going to keep the profit. Look at verse number 3. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not thine own in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And great fear came upon all them that heard these things. Look at me. And I'll say this as gently as I know how. I watch people justify in their heart that sin is right. I watch it. Well, it's not that bad, Brother Bush. Where does it say in the Bible I can't smoke marijuana? Where does it say in the Bible I can't drink beer? It says wine, but it doesn't say anything about beer. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Our heart can try to justify it. Okay. I got to hurry. Let me give you one more verse here. Go to 1 John. Back to 1 John. Some of you are going to learn the books of the Bible through this thing, that's for sure. 1 John chapter 3. Look at verse 20. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence towards God. Wow. God uses our heart to show us our sin and our need of Him. But when you let your heart rule you, your heart is greater than God. Can I tell you what's wrong? And I'll get to this here in a week or so. Can I tell you what's wrong with the Joel Osteen prosperity gospel garbage? Whatever your heart wants, you can have. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Say, well, nobody's perfect. You're a rocket scientist. Folks, why is it that, and I'll get to this next week, I think. Do you realize that every one of the disciples left Jesus at Calvary? Judas went out and hung himself. The other 11 scattered like the rats when you turn the lights on. They weren't even looking for him to resurrect. After he did, in those 3 days, they all went back to their old ways. These are the guys that walk, talk, and preach with Jesus. They went back into the fishing business, bought a boat. Jesus found them out fishing naked on the lake. Earning a living. Had to call them back. Guess what? They said, he died, resurrected, but he didn't come back. Must not have been the right one. Let's go fishing, fellas. Let's go make a living. Your heart, your eyes, your tongue, your body, the devil is attacking. He uses our flesh to attack us. When somebody says something they shouldn't to you, how's your reaction? How does it affect you? Did you ever see somebody get angry? You know, if they could ever take a picture of how they really look, they'd never get angry. You know, it's like, man, what happened to you? You know, I worked around a Bible college. And I'd say every day, but it's probably every class hour and then some, you saw somebody that was fighting with somebody. Maybe not physically, but I mean, you know, you'd see some girl walking down the hall. And she's, have a good day. Not having a good day, huh? You'd see some guy look like he got hit with a tree upside the head, you know? And thinking, what happened to you? Oh, I had a fight with my girlfriend. Idiot. They had no sense. None. Say why? If they really saw themselves arguing, husbands and wives, have you ever looked at each other when you're in the heat of an argument and just start laughing? Say why? Because it's funny looking. I don't think that's funny. Okay, but I do. Folks, our flesh is affected. Our flesh is affected a lot. And our bodies are attacked by the cannon of the devil called the flesh. His main attacks are the eyes, the tongue, and our heart. If you could control your tongue, you're going to control your eyes and your heart. If you control your heart, you can control your tongue and your eyes. If you can control your eyes, you're more apt to control your tongue and your heart. You got to work on all three and guard all three of them. The devil will come after you. None of us are perfect at it, and I've got to quit. We're going to talk next week about how that the world will attack our soul. The world attacks our soul, and how that the devil attacks our spirit. Don't know that we'll get that far, but you don't want to miss it. I'm telling you, it will help you. Let me ask you a question. How's your body been affected by temptation? How's it affected? Every head bowed, every eye closed. I want you to walk closely with your God. I don't want God to come to your house or to your car tomorrow and say, where are you? Where are you? Hey, Adam, where are you? Eve, where are you? They were separated from their God, not separated to their God by their sin. And the devil's first big cannon is the flesh, the eyes, the heart, and the tongue.